This is Hometown Heroes. Honoring the men and women whose service and sacrifice have secured our freedom. Now, the host of Hometown Heroes, Paul Leffler.
Welcome to another edition of Hometown Heroes, the program that reminds you no matter where you live in this great country of ours, no matter how big or how small your hometown might be. Maybe it's Coarse Gold, California. Maybe it's Orange Cove, California, or somewhere in between. Both of those places are going to factor in today. What a story we have for you. You know, each week we visit with veterans. We want to honor them for their service and sacrifice. We want to preserve their stories so we don't forget the price that's been paid for our freedom. And along the way, we learn a lot. We're educated, we're entertained, so often inspired. And today, I don't know about you, but I'm amazed by what I know we're going to hear. You talk about a small world, a coincidence, a needle in a haystack, an almost impossible odds to overcome. This is it that you're going to hear today. And let's start with a Vietnam veteran, son of a World War II veteran, Les Beck of Coarse Gold, California. First of all, Les, thank you for serving our country. And you are a Purple Heart recipient from Vietnam?
That's correct. I was wounded on 31 January 1968 during the Tet Offensive.
How did that happen?
The Viet Cong and the North Vietnamese troops were trying to overrun our base camp near Long Binh. And I responded with a team out to gate number 6 and lay down suppressive fire to stop their assault and got wounded and evacuated as a result.
And as a result of that and your service, you received treatment at the VA Medical Center, and that's the place where this connection was made. But to understand the connection, we need to understand your background. And if your father were alive, I would have loved to sit down with him for a while because he had quite a story. He was so eager to get involved in World War II that he went north of the border to Canada?
That's correct. In 1941, he went to Canada and volunteered to serve over in Europe and originally joined the Polish Air Force and flew a few missions with them but found it so difficult to communicate with them that he transferred to the RAF, which was his second stint. And then from there, when the Americans got involved, he joined the United States Army Air Corps in England.
And how much did you ever know about what he did in World War II? Did he tell you much about it?
No, I remember him showing me all the scars he had, but he really didn't get into the intricate things that happened while he was a POW. I knew he met my mother there, married her, and so I knew that background. But as far as the individual acts of heroism that he actually provided, I never knew until he passed. And reading some documents that he had to submit to the VA opened up a whole new story.
Well, so you've learned a lot since his death, and you're going to learn even more because of the connection that we're going to hear about. So you knew that he was in the Air Corps. You knew that his plane was shot down in July of 1943, and you knew that he was a prisoner of war. Had he told you much about that experience as a prisoner?
He mentioned how the Germans treated him. Overall, the prison guards were pretty decent. He did say that the Gestapo, when they would come around, they were brutal, things like that. And some of the lousy food they had to eat and the cold conditions they endured and how people that tried to go over the wire were shot and killed, obviously. And he was there for that.
And you said he met your mother?
He met my mother while he was with the RAF. And they fell in love, got married. My sister was born. And shortly after her birth is when he got shot down on 26 July, 1943.
But I'm doing the math here. If he didn't survive the prison camp, he doesn't get back with your mother and you're not here.
That's correct. In 1945, when they were liberated, he did a short stint with the American Red Cross over there and then came back Easter Sunday in 1946 on a troop ship. And my mother and her sister, who were also war brides, came over on the Queen Mary. And that's actually, I was on the Queen Mary before I was born. I just didn't know about it. And a month later, on June 22nd, I was born.
Well, all that in its own right is pretty hard to fathom. And your father's story is pretty incredible to be so determined that through Canada, joins the Polish Air Force, then flies for the Brits, meets your mother, flies for the Americans, gets shot down, survives a long time. What, about 18 months in a prison camp or longer?
22 months he was incarcerated there. The day he was shot down, the story he told, he never remembered pulling his ripcord. He passed out. The gunner next to him, my father was a waist gunner. The other waist gunner received a headshot and died instantly. My father took 32 gunshot wounds and shrapnel wounds, and it's a miracle he didn't bleed out. But he woke up near the Bremen Canal and was captured, taken to a morgue where he again regained consciousness with two doctors standing over him arguing whether to try and save his life or not. The younger doctor did save his life. The real ironic part of this is the doctor would come check on him daily to see how he was progressing and then became very cold and standoffish toward my father. And one of the nurses told my father that this doctor's wife and two children had been killed by Allied bombers 2 days after he saved my father's life. I know my father carried that with him all his life, too.
Yeah. And so, I mean, this is an unbelievable story already. And your existence, in light of all that, is hard to believe. So your father had shared a fair amount about this. Over the years, though, since his death, which was 20 years ago, have you ever had moments where you say, boy, I wish Dad told me about this, or I wish I knew some of those other people that helped him survive in the prison camp?
I certainly did. I think a person always would give their own life to have one day that they could spend back with their father and ask things that you never asked them before. I know that's the way I felt. And until I met Orville, he's given me a second chance on life to ask those questions that I never asked my father.
Yeah, so let's hear about this. Obviously, you have great respect for your father and you're amazed by his story and how he survived all of that. But earlier in August here of 2015, you just drive down from Coarse Gold, which is north of Fresno, for a medical appointment, and what happens next?
I'm sitting in the waiting room, and I see this older gentleman come in with an 8th Air Force ball cap on. And so I thought, that's the same outfit my father was with, but it's a big outfit. So I asked him, I said, so you were in the 8th Air Force? And he said, yeah. And I said, B-17s? He said, yeah. And I said, my father was in a B-17 and shot down over Hanover, Germany, on the 26th of July, 43. And Orville, who I met with the 8th Air Force hat on, said, that's really something. I was shot down 4 days later on the same mission, same target, and taken prisoner of war. One thing led to another. I learned that Orville and my dad were both put in the same prison camp, Stalag 17B, just outside of Krems, Austria. And not only that, they were in the same barracks. And since then, I've learned that they were buddies to some extent. They talked frequently, and I never knew this. It's amazing.
Have you even tried to fathom the odds of this? I mean, I've interviewed hundreds of veterans and dozens of prisoners of war, even guys that were in the same prison camp and now lived, you know, within 50 miles of each other. But it's very rare to have guys that actually knew each other in a camp. You have thousands and thousands of people. That camp had at least 40,000 people inside it at one time or another, not that many Americans. But for them to be in the same barracks at the same camp and then you to run into them all these years later, impossible.
Yeah, it's got to be a million to one shot. It's just, it still boggles my mind. They say nothing happens just for coincidence. There's a reason for everything, and I'm a firm believer of that.
And unfortunately, that day where you met him at the VA, you had to go into an appointment, so you really didn't get to talk to him much, right?
That's correct. All I got was Orville's name, and in that time, the nurse called me in, and I went in for my appointment. When I came out, he was gone, and I was totally frustrated. I even went up to the VA nurse to see if she'd give me his name, knowing she wouldn't because of confidentiality matters. I did have his name, I just didn't have his phone number. So I did some research on my own and found Orville's son on Facebook and put two and two together, found out that it must be the same family, and found Orville again that way.
I'm imagining myself in your shoes here. Here you've got this story that's been with you your whole life, that's part of the story of your life, and all of a sudden you've got this bright glimmer of hope that you're going to learn all these things, and then you come out and he's gone. And what was that roller coaster ride like?
It was just a roller coaster ride for sure. Here I had a guy that knew my dad, and I had no way of communicating with him anymore. It was just very, very frustrating.
But here today, we're in Orange Cove at Orville's home, and you guys have had some time to look at some pictures, to go over different memories, and I'm sure this is a conversation that's going to continue for quite a while. But just in the short time that you've been able to talk to him, what has that done for you? What are some of the things that you've learned or some of the picture that's been filled in for you?
Well, it's been terrific. It's helped me to realize what kind of environment they were actually in and what they endured. I looked at my father's wartime logbook and showed it to Orville, and there's names in there that he remembers. And he went over the Christmas menu of 1943, or maybe it was 44, and he remembers what they served that day, and I have the menu right here in my father's book. It's amazing.
It really is, and I don't want to be melodramatic or try to make more of it than it is, but it is amazing and very significant. How would you put into words what this means to you, to have someone who knew your dad, who can fill in some of those blanks, who maybe can corroborate some things you wondered about or answer questions that you thought would never be answered? What has this meant to you?
Well, it's meant the world to me. It's like I said before, it's almost a second lease on life for me, being able to ask questions to a living soul rather than read it in a history book, and knowing somebody that was basically a bunk buddy of my dad's while held by the Germans during World War II way back when.
Has it given you even more respect for your father or more understanding about who he was? How has it added to your perspective on him?
Well, I always had a real strong respect for my father. Most of this stuff that I've talked to you about that I have learned since his passing, I learned by reading some documentation that he himself had to provide for the VA at his time of a claim for the wounds that he received. But it just solidifies in my mind what all these men during World War II gave for their country. The fact that they went up in this B-17 aircraft that was not much more than a Coors silver bullet with guns, and I mean the aluminum, I've seen these planes in person, there was nothing there to stop a bullet. It was just strictly, here I am and come and get me, and may the best man win.
And hearing from Orville what life in that POW camp was like, adding that to what you already knew from your father, does it change at all your perspective on your own existence and the fact that you're even born?
Well, it makes me feel how lucky I really am. At any given time, he should have bled out when he was hit with that gunfire. He didn't. He survived. He survived through the camp, served on the escape committee. He himself could have been killed for doing numerous things that the Jerrys, which is what they called the Germans, didn't approve of. And he made it back to England, back to my mother and his daughter, and ended up in California, and the rest is history.
Yeah, and I don't want to keep going over the same stuff, but you say being back to California, even if there was a guy who, still alive, who was in the same barracks as your father, what are the odds that the two of you are both going to end up in Fresno on the same day, in the same room at the same VA center?
This is truly so unique. The time span involved, that we're talking 72 years, and then we meet up. It's just totally amazing. They could make a movie on this incident, and it would sell.
Well, and so all of this has happened, and there's a lot to reflect on. But in light of all of that, what are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to being able to build my friendship with Orville, a man who spent time with my father when they were both young men, to fill in the gaps that I was never able to find out from my father because of his reluctance to talk about it at the time.
What a treat and what a surprise. And again, what are the odds? Go to hometownheroesradio.com to see photos of Les and Orville together. And we'll hear from Orville when Hometown Heroes comes right back after this. Remember when the bank gave you free checking and savings accounts, even making money for you when you kept your dollars there? Paul Leffler here to say, I've recaptured those days, and you can too with EECU. It's not a bank. It's a nonprofit credit union that just keeps growing and growing. The newest branch is in Tulare, and nearly a quarter million EECU members represent 10 different California counties. As little as $250 in a savings account earns you dividends. And access is so easy. 30,000 ATMs, free mobile banking. And I haven't even told you what I love most about EECU, the credit union's support of causes up and down our area, like Central Valley Honor Flight. Close to 500 World War II veterans have gotten to see their memorial in Washington, D.C. for free because of the leadership and financial support of EECU. Ready to join the team yet? Call 1-800-538-3328.